we shared on last week, the process of leadership development. Today we're going to share on the 5 D's of leadership. Acts 19, let's look at verse 1 through 6. Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to read all that. All right. 1 through 6, then we'll go 20 through 25, and we'll go from there. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse number 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and led him down by the wall in a basket. Verse 26, And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen. Lord bless the readers, hearers, and the doers of his most holy words. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The 5 D's of leadership. I want to share with you today 5 critical areas that every believer will encounter in their personal process of leadership development. I believe that as I share these, God takes you through these 5 stages chronologically, as you're being groomed and developed for greatness. So I'm going to ask that you would listen again with an attentive heart and an open spirit, that you can receive what the Spirit is saying to the church. Number 1, the first D is desire. You must have a desire to be developed into what God has ordained you to be. I want you to understand that before you came into this world, that God had a purpose and a plan for your life. He called your future into existence long before you were born or even thought about coming into this world. And so it doesn't matter what you get involved with, who you become, or what you do, because there's a call of God on your life. There's a purpose and a plan that God has ordained to be so before the foundation of the world. And so just as Saul did in this text, you will eventually come to a place, beloved, where you're going to have to make a decision to fulfill the plan of God for your life. So I want you to understand, when we look at this particular text, that Saul was on the opposite side of Christianity. He was commissioned by the high priest In other words, he had got permission to go to the high priest, and any Christians that he found in this way, that's what the Bible said, that he could bring them bound to Jerusalem and prosecute them, because as I shared with you in times past, Christianity was not the accepted religion. Are you with me? And so Paul made his business, he used every ounce of his being, every desire that he had, to use that to persecute Christians in the things of God. Are you with me? And what I want to get into your spirit this evening is that you have to have that same fire, you have to have that same intensity that you had in the world when you get in the church. Because all of us went all out when we was in the world. When we went to the party, we spent the most money. Amen. We bought the finest clothes. Amen. We drove the nicest cars. We bought the most expensive liquor. Praise the Lord. Y'all didn't buy none of that cheap stuff when you went to the good parties. Am I doing all right? You bought the good wine and you bought the good beer. Come on. When I was in the world, Michelob was the good beer. The cheap stuff was... I can't even think of the name of that stuff no more. But they had a real cheap one. It was an off-brand. Don't none of y'all say it. I know y'all know it, but don't none of y'all say it. But anyway, you got to have that same desire, beloved. And then what God wants from you when you come into the kingdom is that same commitment that you had in the world to be applied in everything that you do in the church. And so if you was on time, if you was full of fire, if you want to do everything like that you did in the world, then that same commitment should be when you come in the church, if you want to be developed as a leader. That's right. Then you have to have the desire to be developed just as Paul did into the things of God. Verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was a desire. He wanted to know what the purpose of God, what the plan of God was for his life. And you have to have that desire to move into the things of God concerning leadership. Amen. So according to this text, we find that Saul obeyed God and followed his instructions. Number 2 is devotion. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. You must be devoted to the things of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11 say, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to underline that. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So you have to be devoted. Webster's dictionary informs us that devotion comes from the word devote. Devote means to give or apply one's time and or attention to an activity or cause. And so if you're going to move into the level of leadership that God has called you to occupy, you must devote yourself entirely to him. And so I want to share with you 3 levels of devotion that you must obtain in order to be qualified to lead in the kingdom of God. So you have many people that are leading in the kingdom of God, but they're not necessarily qualified to lead. So the first level of devotion is found in verse 12, is where you receive a revelation of who Jesus is. That's what Paul said. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is revealed to you. You come into the knowledge of him, confess him by faith, and vow to live for him according to the scriptures. I have expressed this to y'all time and time again, and you'll hear it as you come to this church, that your relationship with Jesus is more than just coming to church. Because you come to church does not mean you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see in verse number 9 that Paul received the revelation and confessed his sins to Christ and turned from his wicked ways. I would agree that most people in the body of Christ have and do receive the revelation of who Jesus is. In other words, they recognize that they need to be saved. And they make a verbal confession to live for him. But let me tell you, living holy and living saved is a whole nother arena. And so the first level of devotion is where you receive a revelation of who Jesus is. The second level is found in verse 13, where it says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past. And conversation translated in the Greek means lifestyle. And so what Paul was saying is you have heard of my lifestyle in time past. So the second one is where there's an evident change of your life and your lifestyle. We understand that there was now a distinct difference in the way that Saul was and the way that Saul was now. I want to ask a question. Is there a distinct difference in the way you were before you got saved and the way you are now? Hello? Is there a difference? Do they know the old Abebe and the new Abebe? Do they know the old Karita and the new Karita? When I used to go home, I was involved in gangs and I was involved in dope selling and all those different things. And when I gave my life back to Christ and I went home to Alton, Illinois, this was many years ago, they wanted to associate me with the old Paul, the dope man Paul, the hustler Paul, the pimp Paul. But that was the old Paul. I was a new Paul. And it was evident because my life and my lifestyle had changed. And so this, thus your confession to live according to the scripture begin to line up with your possession, the way that you're living. And although people can recall the old you, it's not who you are, it's who you were. So number two is where there's been an evident change in your life and your lifestyle. Number three is where the level where Christ is revealed in you. Look at verse 16 through 18. It says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And so where Christ is revealed in you, it takes time. For Saul, it took 3 years of spending quality time with God alone in the Arabian desert. Everyone that wants to move into leadership and move into things of God does not want to have Christ revealed in them because it's a process. It's not easy and it requires going above the norm. See, I'm not just talking about coming to church and getting your name on the roll and just, you know, and just singing a song and just doing some work. I'm talking about having Christ revealed in you. And you understanding who God is and why God called you and what your purpose is for being on earth and existing. Amen. Well, Pastor, how do I get Christ revealed in me? You have to take time out of your schedule and seek his face and pray and get into your word and study to show yourself approved. Lots of us here, we want an anointing. We want to lead, but we're not willing to pay the price for it. We're not willing to do what it takes to get it. When I got saved, y'all, I dedicated my life to God. I devoted my time. Every fiber of my being went to the kingdom. I can remember once I gave my heart to the Lord and I had this anti-demon kit. And every time I had free time, I'd get in my word and I'd study. And days and hours would go by of me just staying before God and reading that word. And now what was I doing? I was getting Christ revealed in me. When you have Christ revealed in you, you won't walk away from God. Because you know who God is and you know God, how He's been good to you. When you don't have Christ revealed in you, anything will happen, you will leave the church. Leaving the church, being a part of the church, and having Christ revealed in you is two different things. You've got to have Christ revealed in you. Am I doing all right? My wife didn't always like it, but she realized that I was dedicating myself to God. And here's the thing, beloved, I could have been in the club. I could have been smoking and joking with my buddies. I could have been doing all these different things, but I was giving my time to God.
Amen.
And that's why you got to understand that when you're involved in something, it takes time. Yes, you may not be at home all the time. Yes, you may be dedicated to this, but you've given your life to God. And there's 100 other places you could be that will not profit your soul and your spirit.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. Now is the time for the church to devote yourself to the things of God.
Amen.
This is the day. This is the hour. Harden not your heart as many did in the days of provocation. Let's go back to Acts 9. Verse number 20. The third D is dependability. Let's look at verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now this took place after his 3 years of being devoted to God in the Arabian desert. That's why I wanted to read Galatians 1, because really Acts 1 through 6 is a period of time. And then you read on, and then Galatians 1 comes in where Paul actually spent 3 years in the desert before he came back, as he was saying, to the apostles in Jerusalem. And so he spent this time, and now he's come back from the desert, and he's moving in that which God had anointed him and called him to do. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Proven leaders in the body of Christ are dependable. Proven leaders in the body of Christ are dependable. God can depend on them to fulfill what he has called them to do. Jesus depended upon Saul to preach the message of salvation in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. Jesus could depend on Saul. Saul could depend on Jesus. It's a shame, because in a lot of places we can depend on God, but God can't depend on us. We want God to come through for us, but when the tables turn and we begin to move in the things of God, God can't depend on us. When you're dependable, you ensure that nothing stands in your way of fulfilling what God has called you to do. Saul was dependable even though people had talked about him and his life was in danger. Look at verse 21. But all heard him, were amazed, and said, "Is this not he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" They was talking about Saul. And they was running his name through the mud. And you used to be on the other side of Christianity. And now you're spending all this time in the church. And you're doing all this different type of stuff. That when I'm telling you, when you begin to move in the levels of leadership, folks going to talk about you.
That's right. Amen.
Folks going to look at you funny. Folks are going to say bad things about you because they don't understand where you're going. And so they were talking about Saul, and then his life was in danger. But the Bible said Saul increased more in strength. He didn't leave the church and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to do what? To kill him. So I'm telling you, beloved, as you begin to move in the things of God, you've got to prove yourself to be dependable, because people will talk about you, they'll lie on you, make fun of you, and your life can even be in danger, but you can't prevent it from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Saul could have just said, "Man, you know, God, these folks are talking about me and they're trying to take my life, and so I'm going to stop preaching." But he didn't do that. He was dependable. I want to pose a question to those of you that are in leadership now or endeavoring to be leaders. Can I depend on you? Can I depend on you to support the ministry financially through thick and thin and be ready to fulfill your assignment without obstacles and problems getting in your way? Why? Because leaders, listen to me closely, have the ability to focus on their assignment without anyone knowing what they're facing or what they're going through. When you're a leader, you're a proven leader, you got a smile on your face, but hell is on your back door. And you just think things are just going well and things are just going lovely. But in all reality, when you leave up out of the church or when you leave up out of the session or up out of the ministry, you got hell that you got to face. But you have a smile on your face and you've been proven dependable because you don't let those things move you.
Amen.
Listen to this. Write this down if you're taking notes. Leaders don't make excuses. They solve problems. Leaders do not let obstacles or challenges block them from what God have called them to do. Leaders will find a way to make it happen without letting anyone know or sense that there was even a problem. As a leader in this ministry and as the broad things will confront you and you've got to handle that obstacle, you've got to handle that challenge without anybody even knowing or sensing that there was a problem. Are y'all listening to me closely? As we continue to grow and develop into what God has called us to do, I will require that our leaders don't bring me and my wife problems without a solution. If you've got a problem, then give me a solution. Pastor, we're not able to do A, B, C, and D. Well, what's the solution to that? Hello.
Amen.
That's the marks of a leader.
Amen.
Well, so-and-so not going to be able to be here tonight. So how are we going to solve that? Hello. Leaders don't create problems. Leaders solve problems. If you just say, well, so-and-so not going to be here, then that's a problem. Hello. How are you going to solve that problem and make sure that the work of the Lord still goes on? Am I talking to anybody in here? That's leadership. Leaders don't create problems, they solve problems. The fourth D is development. You must have a willingness to be developed. Saul was willing to be developed. All of you that are a part of this ministry and sense the call of leadership upon your lives must be willing to be developed. Now listen to this. Write this down. The development process begins with time. Look at verse number 28. Verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 28. And he was with them. And he was with them. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And so the development process begins with time. If you're going to develop into the leader that God has called you to be, you must be willing to invest time and submit yourselves to those that God has anointed to lead you. It was in this development process, church, that Saul learned to emulate the teachings of the apostles in Jerusalem that would make him great in the kingdom. Now, there's three stages of leadership development. And I want to read those to you. They're all found in verse number 29. Number one is when you increase in the word. Verse 29 says, and he spake boldly in the name of Jesus. How much word do you know? Hello? Church? How much word do you know? Because the word of God is our guideline. It's our measuring stick. The scriptures teach us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you're developing as a leader in the body of Christ, you're striving to achieve the level of revelation in the word that you see your leader has, and you're spending time in your word and prayer in a daily basis. The Bible say that Saul, let's read it again. He spake boldly in the name of Jesus. Why do you need to know the word? Because the word is what solves problems. When I deal with stuff, I can't give you my personal opinion. I can't give you what other people are telling me. I got to give you what the word says. Amen. And that's the trademarks of a leader when they know the word. When you know this book, when you know it from Genesis to Revelation. Pastor, how am I going to know it? You got to spend some personal time in it. You got to read. You got to study. You've got to come to Bible study. So you can learn this word. Number two, I like this one, is the proven ability to handle difficult people. The Bible says, not only did he speak boldly in the name of Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. Notice how Saul was able to dispute with the Grecians. Because you'll find that everyone in the church has an opinion and a view of the way they think things ought to be. And so as you develop as a leader, you have to be able to skillfully handle difficult people. Hello.
Amen.
And work with those of different social, economic, and spiritual backgrounds.
Right.
You have to learn, church, as a leader, on how to deal with people, because ministry is nothing but people. That's what church is. It's dealing with people. And so I have to deal with new converts. I have to deal with people that have been in the Word for a long time. I have to deal with people that may not have been in the Word for that long of a time, but they're growing in the things of God. And I got to deal with unbelievers. And so how do you learn that? By becoming skillful and having the ability to deal with every one of them. You got to be able to think ahead, plan ahead, give forethought and insight. A lot of times when I bring something up, I already know what people are going to say, and I've already considered that. Why? Because I'm a leader and you think ahead of people. Y'all heard the old saying that you got to get up pretty early to pull one over on you? Or the early bird gets the worm? That's what a leader does. A leader plans, a leader gives foresight, and a leader thinks of problems before they even arise. That's what a leader does. Everybody that comes in the church will not be in agreement with the way that you're fulfilling what God's calling to you to do. Church, leaders, you're going to have people that have issues, people that are carnal minded, uncooperative, and disrespectful. And you got to learn how to deal with every one of them in love. I have to learn to deal with somebody that's disrespectful and carnal minded and still treat them in love and them not even know it. But I'm still getting the mission across and the mission accomplished because I've learned that over the years of dealing with difficult people.
Amen.
Number three is the ability to focus on your assignment without distractions. Look at verse 29c. But they went about to slay him. Even though people were trying to kill Saul, he could not allow that to stop him from fulfilling what God had called him to do. As you develop in the leadership process, you have to learn how to prioritize your life and overcome distractions that will throw you off course. If my life was not prioritized, there is no way I could do what I do. What do, Pastor? I got to be a husband. I got to be a pastor. I work a full-time job, 40 hours a week. I work a job as a pastor that I don't get paid for. Hello, right now. And this job actually outweighs the job I do get paid for. And a father. And I couldn't do that if I did not prioritize my life. And if you're going to lead in the body of Christ, you have to prioritize your life. You gotta figure out how you're gonna cook the food, how you're gonna get the kids to soccer practice, how you're gonna do A, B, C, and D, and still cover what ministry you have to do. Are y'all listening? Because it requires that type of commitment. How did I learn that? Over the years of being developed in the things of God. Y'all know where I started? I started out in the choir. With a choir robe at a Baptist church, and knew I had a call of God on my life to preach. But if I would have stayed at that level, I wouldn't be where I am now. Didn't mean the call of God was not there. It just meant that I refused to prioritize my life and line up with the things of God. Here, I got to administrate. I got to account. I got to do praise and worship. And all of this is on a regular basis. It's not like I'm doing this once a month, baby. This is every week this has to be done because this is what's required for services. And on top of that, I still got to stay on top of my job. Still got to try to be a father. I know I'm slipping in that area. I still got to try to be a husband. No, I can't balance them all out at one time. But the point I'm making is I prioritize my life to make it work. And God's given me a grace to get it done. And the same grace that's on my life has to be on your life if you want to step into leadership, because I'm telling you, it will require you stepping your life up another notch to be able to lead and to lead in excellence. The final D is dedicated. Let's go to Acts 13 and we're going to let y'all go. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that were called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Listen to this. When you have fulfilled the development process that God requires, He will dedicate you to service for Him until He calls you home or returns to earth. When the development process was over for Saul, God called him and dedicated Saul to service. Dedicate in Webster's means to be set apart for special use or consecrated. And so we see that in this particular text, some years had passed since Acts 9, in this particular text, God was dedicating Saul into the work that He had called him to do. And inevitably, his destiny was apostleship. But the first part of that was his missionary journeys. He did three of them. And in those missionary journeys, he established churches. And that's how you find Galatians, Corinthians, Thessalonica. All these books in the New Testament are actually churches that Paul established on these missionary journeys. And so he was dedicated into service. When God dedicates you into service, He will change your name, elevate your title and position, and release you into what He's called you to. And from this point forward, He's no longer known as Saul. He's known as what? Paul, the apostle, because God had dedicated him into service. That is the process, church, that I am working for and my wife is working towards as pastors and the group we have here. To take you through this development process and to have you develop in the things of God so that you can be released and set aside inevitably into what God has called you to do. God have called me, now I'm just as an example, God have called me, I'm finished. God have called me to be an apostle to the nation. He's called me to be an evangelist. He's called me to be a missionary. I know that. He showed me a vision of me preaching to 50, 60,000 people. That's the dedication process, but that doesn't happen until after you've been developed. That's when God releases you and pushes you out into the thing that He's called you to do. Perhaps you're in here today and you're listening to me and you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior, but I know there's a call of God on my life. I know that there's a plan that God has given me for greatness, and I want to start that process by first committing my life over to Him. If you would stand to your feet with me this morning, and if you are that person and you don't know the Lord, we're going to ask that you would come forward at this time, that we can introduce you into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.